Welcome to the Reading for Success podcast, brought to you by the Success League. This podcast focuses on customer success and leadership books, provides an overview of each, and gives you an honest assessment of whether or not it's worth your time. Welcome to the podcast. Hi, my name is Kristen Hayer, and I'm the host of Reading for Success. And I'm also the CEO of the Success League, a boutique customer success consulting and training firm based in San Francisco. This week, we're introducing our new format, a once-a-month in-depth review of a book. Over the next month, we'll be rolling out additional resources that will accompany each book, and we'll feature author interviews when possible in between the book episodes. I'm kicking off this new format with the book, The Forever Transaction, by Robbie Kelman Baxter. This is her second book. Her first was called The Membership Economy, and it presented the foundational philosophy behind this book. This book is really a model for rolling out a membership program and offers advice on planning, scaling, and running this type of program. And to be candid, I wasn't sure what to expect from this book. Consultant books can be a little hit or miss, but I ended up loving it. In addition to being a very practical book about how to roll out a membership approach across your organization, it offers a lot of change management advice that goes beyond this specific kind of project to any kind of change you want to drive inside of your organization. Kelman Baxter offers great examples throughout the book, which is helpful as you're trying to determine what will work for your business model and for your customer base. So, what did I like the most? Right at the beginning of the book, in chapter 2, the author talks about the importance of support for a membership strategy coming from the top. Your CEO, your executive team, and your board need to be aligned with this approach, or it just won't work. And I've seen so many great customer success ideas squashed by a lack of leadership support, so I truly appreciated this early call out in the book. To help you gain alignment, the author includes a wonderful business case template on pages 22 through 24. I'd like to note that the headings for the business case template are the ones that you'd use to create any kind of business case, which makes this really useful beyond the specific focus of this book. Chapter 5 is about choosing the right team for different phases of this transformation. And there's a useful chart on page 45 that talks about the skill sets you should be looking for during the design, launch, scale, and management stages of this kind of a project. And again, while the author presents this specifically in light of a membership transformation project, the skill sets apply to any major corporate initiative. Starting on page 60 in chapter 7, there's a section called Start Small and Keep Adding. Don't do it all at once. And they use examples of FabFitFun and Electronic Arts. And the author provides excellent advice on how to kickstart this kind of initiative by starting small. And this really resonated with me because I've seen CS teams try to make the shift to digital, which is a similar kind of transformation. But instead of starting out with a combination of CSMs and digital touchpoints, they try to make everything digital all at once. And this can be really overwhelming for everyone involved in the rollout and often results in the project just being abandoned. I like that this book focuses on the start small, test, adjust, and add approach, which tends to result in more success over time. Another part of the book I really appreciated was in the pricing strategies section. Strategy 1 is called Keep Control of the Diagnosis and Prescription as You Grow. This section highlights two problems that I see all the time across CS organizations. First, as CS professionals, we often don't dig deep enough into a customer's issue, understand the root causes. This results in a second problem: we let customers self-prescribe. And I see this a lot in feature requests. First, we accept the customer's self-diagnosis at face value. An example would be, I need a purple button. We don't dig into why they want the button to be purple or what they hope to accomplish with a purple button. And then second, we accept that turning the button purple is the right solution. We don't consider that the right solution depends on what the customer is hoping to accomplish. The author talks about this in light of pricing, but I think that this section of the book really highlights a problem that we have in a lot of different areas in customer success, provides a great example of why and how this happens, and talks about how we should be handling this instead of letting customers dictate the right solution to us. The last part of the book that I thought was thought-provoking was the section on churches and congregations in chapter 16. I thought that this was a very interesting way to illustrate why it is so important not just to consider your current customers, but also your future customers when you're designing a membership approach. Of course, if your job is to retain members in your church, this section is directly applicable, but that isn't the case for most of us. The author makes the point that in any membership program, we have to stay relevant to newer members. I've been thinking about this a lot lately and thinking about what Gen Z is going to need as they enter their careers in customer success. So this part of the book especially resonated with me. There were really only two parts of the book that seemed out of line to me and I kind of disagreed with. First, chapter 9 on acquisition seemed like a stretch to even include in a book on membership models. Of course, this book is for a broader audience than CS or CX leaders, but still, I don't see many organizations making an acquisition strictly for the target's membership approach. Companies that are having success with a membership model are expensive and unlikely to want or need a merger in the same way that a company with a more traditional model would. If you've never considered acquisitions in depth, you might find this chapter interesting, but I think that most readers could skip it and come back if it becomes relevant to you in the future. Second, chapter 13 on metrics is right in theory and kind of soft on specifics. Yes, membership-focused companies need to shift to metrics that align with long-term value. However, the specific metrics mentioned are largely geared for B2C and high-volume B2B companies. And it's missing a couple of metrics. Specifically, the cost to retain a client seems to be missing, and I think that's an important part of a B2B business model. It also focuses on NPS as the only customer satisfaction metric, and I won't harp on that because I've covered that in previous episodes. You guys know I'm not a huge fan of NPS. It's not right for most B2B companies based on volume alone, let alone some of the challenges in execution. I wish that Kelman Baxter had included some alternatives to NPS that are still related to long-term value, but are more relevant to B2B companies, like customer effort score or referral rate. There's a bunch of different things you could be looking at that are a great indication of customer satisfaction in the long run. So overall, is this book worth reading? I think that different parts of the book are relevant to different audiences. This book definitely isn't written for CSMs, but it might be interesting for CSMs who aspire to leadership in the future. Although I haven't read it, I suspect that her prior book, The Membership Economy, would be a better fit for an aspiring CS leader who wants more of the theory and less of a how-to book. CS leaders would benefit from reading this book, but unless you're in the middle of a merger or an acquisition process, you can skip chapter 9. Operations professionals who are helping to lead a transformation, like shifting to a membership model in the CS department, would also benefit from this book, but you could skip chapters 5, 9, 12, 14, and 18, which are all less practical and more theoretical. So next month, I'll be reviewing one of my favorite books, Now Discover Your Strengths. This is the book that kicked off the StrengthsFinder series, and I think it still holds up. This book goes along with the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment, which you can take online. If you'd like to read ahead of the episode, go ahead and take the assessment too. I'll be sharing not only my thoughts on rereading the book, but I'll also share some of the strengths that I've seen and have been missing from my CS teams over the years. We'll be releasing that next episode on October 7th. If you're a regular listener, help us get the word out by taking a couple of minutes to subscribe, share Reading for Success with other customer success professionals, and rate the podcast. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join Reading for Success next time.